Okay, we're going to start the 10 lines down here on Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo lechol, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, makshire mitzvah adokhin et ha-shabbat. This statement, position of Rabbi Eliezer that we found in the Mishnah, that makshire mitzvah are dochim et ha-shabbat, this is not a general principle. This is not a klal that we can just rely on in any situation. Now, the Gemara is going to prove it here because it's going to bring evidence of the fact that Rabbi Eliezer has to learn a special limud to have this work by a certain mitzvah. That's one position. But what we'll see from the upcoming Gemara is that for everything that Rabbi Eliezer believes that the Makhshire mitzvah dochin et ha-shabbat has a specific limud by that mitzvah. And that's indicative of the fact that we're not dealing with a general principle, but each time we have to go back to the well and we have to find the source for why it is that Makhshire mitzvah are dochin et ha-shabbat. The same way that the Chachamim or Rabbi Akiva would have to. Every time you want to know that any mitzvah is doche to Shabbat, you'd have to go find the specific limud to know that it's doche to Shabbat. Eliezer is in that same position with regards to makshirei mitzvah. So just because you know that the mitzvah is doche Shabbat, doesn't mean automatically the makshirei mitzvah will be doche to Shabbat. You need a limud to teach you not only is it mitzvah itself doche to Shabbat, but also the makshirei mitzvah doche to Shabbat. Sharei, shtei alechem chuvat hayom hein. Shtei alechem are brought on Shavuot, and they're obligated to be brought on that day. We know that you bring the shtei alechem on Shabbat itself. V'lo lam dan Rabbi Eliezer ela migzera shavu. And nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer only learned the fact that they makshirei mitzvah doche to Shabbat from migzera shavu. Shtei alechem themselves are brought on Shabbat. The preparation of the Shtei Alechem, the baking of the Shtei Alechem is done prior to Shabbat. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer believes that you could even bake the Shtei Alechem, do all the avodah of the Shtei Alechem on Shabbat itself. But how does he know that? He knows that not because Shtei Alechem are brought on Shabbat, but because he has a Gzeira Shavu. Shetetani, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Minay, Lamachshirei Shtei Alechem, Shaduchim Et HaShabbat. How do I know that the preparation processes for making the Shtei Alechem are Doche Et HaShabbat? Nemra hava'a ba'omer, v'nemra hava'a b'shtei halechem, says hava'a ba'omer. The omer talking about the korban ha'omer, which is brought on the 16th of Nisan. Over there, the korban ha'omer is dochet ha'shabbat. And hava'a is written by shtei halechem. Ma ha'ava'a b'mura ba'omer makshirin dochin et ha'shabbat. Just like the hava'a, the bringing of the omer, is dochet ha'shabbat. Av hava'a mura b'shtei halechem, makshirin dochin et ha'shabbat. So too, the makshirim of the shtei alechem and dochet ha-shabbat. And with regards to the omer, there everyone agrees that the makshirim are dochet ha-shabbat, because the requirement of the bringing of the omer is uktzartem, that you actually cut the ktzira. You have to actually harvest it and then bring the korban ha-omer. So if the 16th of Nisan falls out on a Shabbat, then the ktzira has to be done on a Shabbat. And there, even if you have katsur, even if you have pre-cut or pre-harvested, that's not good enough. You have to actually be kotzeret in order to bring. You have to actually harvest it to bring the korban ha-omer. So there we know for certain that the makshirei mitzvah, the preparatory process for making the korban ha-omer, for sure is Doche Shabbat. Even the Chachamim, even Rabbi Akiva would believe that. What Rabbi Eliezer does is now extend that to the Shtei Alechem, to the Gzeira Shava of Hava Hava'a. Just like by Korban Omer, it's true that Makshirei Mitzvah Doche Et HaShabbat, so too, by the Shtei Alechem, we're going to say the same thing, that it's Doche Et HaShabbat. The Gemara says, Mufne, they have to be open, extraneous. We've bumped into this principle before. When you come through a Gzeira Shava, there are different levels of Gzeira Shava. You can have Gzeira Shava, which takes two words, puts them together, but those words are not necessarily extraneous. That's the lowest form of Gzeira Shava, and that can be undermined. Everybody agrees if you have a logical argument against such a Gzeira Shava, it undermines the Gzeira Shava, does not allow you to learn the Gzeira Shava. Then we have what's called Mufne Mitzad Achad, that it's extraneous on one side of the Gzeira Shava, and Mufne Shnei Tzadim, or that it's extraneous on both sides of the Gzeira Shava. The more extraneous words that you're using within the limud, the more powerful the Gzeira Shava is. So you have Gzeira Shava where by both ends of the Gzeira Shava, both the one that's learning and the one you're learning from are extraneous, then there's Ein Meshivin. That Gzeira Shava can defy logic. We learn it, and it doesn't matter what logical arguments there are against it. On the opposite spectrum, if neither of the worlds are extraneous, then logic always governs and can override the Gzeira Shava. In between, where you have one of the words being extraneous, there's a machloket, whether that's enough to overcome the logical argument against it. So that's what the Gemara says here. Mufne, this has to be a type of gzeira shava that involves extraneous words. If it's not involving extraneous words, there's a logical argument against making such a gzeirah sheva. Mala omer shekein imatzak tzur kotzer. What are you going to say about the omer? The omer, if you found grain that was already barley that was already cut, harvested, you still have to actively go and cut more. Tomar b'shtei lechem shimatzak tzur enu kotzer. That's not true by the shtei lechem. The shtei lechem, it just requires you to have mincha chadasha, have wheat, but does not require you that you specifically cut the wheat for the shtei lechem. So if that's the case, it would indicate to us through logic that I couldn't make such an argument. Just because I know something by the Omer doesn't mean it's true by shtei lechem. That's not a given. Now the gzeirah sheva can overcome that if the gzeirah sheva can defy logic. What do I need for the gzeirah sheva to defy logic? Is mufnei. I need to have the words be extraneous. So the I left nuyei mufnei. So where is it open? Why is it extraneous? Explain to me this. Why says mechdektiv? It says by the Omer veivetem et Omer reshit yitzarchem el hakohen v'yom haviyachem lomali. Why do I have the word haviyachem written again? It says veivetem et Omer and says reshit yitzarchem el hakohen, and then you could have just said v'yom. Why do you need the word haviyachem in this case? That's extraneous. Shmamina lafnuye. So with regards to the Omer itself, there we have the word hava'ah be extraneous, and be extraneous. Now we have the ability to learn the gzeirah sheva despite the logical argument against it. Mar says vakate mufne mitzad echad. That's only extraneous on one side. I mean, the tzad omer the havaa by the tzad omer is extraneous. So shaminin le the Rabbi Elazar, and we know that Rabbi Elazar's position is damra mufne mitzad echad lemedim umeshivin. If it's only extraneous on one side of the gzeirah sheva, we can learn the gzeirah sheva, but if there's a logical argument against it, we will drop it, and we will not follow through with the gzeirah sheva. The Gemara says, Taviyu ribuyahu. This is a very interesting expression here, because we're not looking for a ribuy. We're not looking for something that is coming to and being inclusive. We're looking for an extraneous word that allows us to learn the limud of the gzeirah sheva. So the way Rashi reads, Taviyu ribuyahu, Taha. V'yikravtem mincha chadasha, which is the command to bring the shtei alechem, samich, umatzin mikta mimoshvotechem lechem tunufa, period. What's mimoshvotechem lechem tunufa taviyu? Why do you need the word taviyu? You already said v'yikravtem, you're gonna bring it. So why do you need the word taviyu? Taviyu is extraneous, yiteirahi, it's extra, and that gives me mufnei mishnei tzadim. It says I have an extra word hava'a by the omer, which is unnecessary, a word hava'a by the mincha chadasha, by the shtei alechem, that's extraneous, and now I have mufnei mishnei tzadim. The gzeirah sheva has an extraneous word on both ends, so I can learn the gzeirah sheva despite the logical argument against it. What's interesting is the lashon that the Gemara uses here, which is taviyu ribuyahu. Ribuyahu means that usually it's an inclusive type of term. It's written in a plural. It has some sort of nature that includes more. If you read the Rav Nissim Gaon, they seem to read it more along those lines, that it's a ribuy to come be more inclusive. But the way Rashi reads it seems to fit better to the Gemara, which is looking for extraneous words to make up the gzeirah sheva. So the Gemara says, that was almost a parenthetical statement that we just had now. We had a statement by Chir Baravam Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Elazar doesn't say it applies to everything. Makshir mitzvah aren't automatically mutar on Shabbat. How do I know that? That's the limud we just went through. The fact that I had to, by shtei alechem, go out of my way to find a limud, means that it's not a default. It's not a default that shtei alechem, or the preparation of shtei alechem, would be doche Shabbat. I had to invoke a gzeirah sheva in order to permit it to happen. So that's like parenthetical, to say I proved to you now that Rabbi Elazar doesn't say it everywhere. Now the Gemara goes back to that statement and says, L'mu'utemai. You make a statement that not for everything is the makshiri mitzvah doche de Shabbat. What things is it not? Which mitzvah are the makshiri mitzvah not doche de Shabbat? So that's the Gemara's question now. L'mu'utemai. Ilem l'mu'ute lulav. If you want to say it comes to exclude lulav, atanyo, v'vabraito. That you can't prepare the lulav on Shabbat. You can't tie the kesher. You can't cut the lulav on Shabbat. You can't cut it from the palm tree. You can't pick the hadasim on Shabbat. So, v'atanya lulav v'chol makshirav duchim et haShabbat. Divir Rabbi Eliezer, we're explicit in Braita. The Rabbi Eliezer says, makshirei lulav are duchim et haShabbat. Lakach lechem ber yom harishon. Ber yom harishon is always deoraita when it comes to lulav. So if you have it on yom harishon, and in Eretz Yisrael, they took lulav on Yom HaRishon. We have the innovation that we don't take lulav in Eretz Yisrael on Yom HaRishon. It's explicit Mishnah that in Yom HaRishon in Eretz Yisrael, if it falls out on Shabbat, you should be taking the lulav. The fact that we don't is a heavy influence of the gula on Eretz Yisrael. In the Gola, they didn't take it on Yom Rishon. Then when Shivat Zion came, they continued that practice of not taking the Lulav on Yom Rishon. But the fact that we don't in Eretz Yisrael take Lulav on Yom Rishon that falls out on Shabbat doesn't have a lot of standing, doesn't have a lot of reason. There is nothing in the Gemara that indicates that way. Again, we're heavily influenced by Bavel, and therefore we don't take it. But inside Eretz Yisrael, we should be taking Lulav Yom Rishon, Midoraita on Shabbat. So here, Rabbi Eliezer says that Machshirei Lulav are Dochet HaShabbat. My Muzan to the next case, what about Sukkah? Maybe that's the Mutei Sukkah. But Tanya, again, we have an explicit Braita, Sukkah v'chol Machshirei Dochim et HaShabbat, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer states again that by Machshirei Sukkah, it is Dochet HaShabbat. Velo Mutei Matzah. That what? Matzah, that you shouldn't be able to prepare the Matzah on Shabbat that falls out on the first day of Yom Tov. Tanya, Matzah v'chol Machshirei Dochim et HaShabbat, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, explicit Braita that says Rabbi Eliezer thinks Machshirei Matzah are Dochet HaShabbat. Velo Mutei Shofar. Let's say that the shofar is not dochet haShabbat. V'adanya shofar b'chol machshirav dochim et haShabbat. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, we have explicit braita that says that machshirei shofar are dochet haShabbat according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'amar Rav Adar bar Ava imutei tzitzit letalito umzuzah lepitcho. When it comes to exclude, here we have Rav Adar bar Ava who comes along and says imutei tzitzit letalito umzuzah lepitcho. You can't put tzitzit on your beggar to wear it, and you can't put up a mezuzah on your door. Now, not just affix the mezuzah, you can't write the mezuzah on Shabbat to put it up on your door, and you can't, whether it means whatever the processes are in making the tzitzit, for the final stage being that you have to tie it by a kesher shel kayama, put it on the beged, all of those are problems in terms of malacha. You can't do that on Shabbat. That's not duchet haShabbat. Tani Rami Yochai, we have a braita that supports that. Vishavim, shim tzietz, talito, vasam mezuzah lepitcho, shu chayav. Blazer agrees that if you made tzitzit for your talit, or you put up a mezuzah, made a mezuzah for your pedach, your chayav. Those are not, those makshirei mitzvah are not duchet haShabbat. My taima. What is the reason that they're not duchet haShabbat? Amar Rav Yosef, the fish ain't tavu lehem zman. They don't have a fixed time to have the mitzvah done. So that's interesting. Meaning that there's no fixed time to wear a tzitzit. There's no fixed time to put up the mezuzah. Correct. Very good. The way that you would have formulated is exactly what David said here. It's not a time-bound mitzvah. It's not something that is time-urgent. Usually when we say something's docha Shabbat, it's because time is of the essence, and if you don't do it on Shabbat, you're not going to be able to do it. Over here, you could do it after Shabbat, you could do it before Shabbat. Therefore, Shabbat should not be relevant to this. But what's interesting is the response. I'm like, just the opposite. Since they do not have a fixed time in order to do them, every moment is its time. And therefore, it should be dochet Shabbat. It should be dochet Shabbat because there's not a moment when you don't have to do this mitzvah. Then Rashi says over here, v'kevan she'esh lo talit, v'chol yom shemishaeh belo tzitzit over ba'aseh. Person has a tzitzit, a talit, and he doesn't have tzitzit on it. Every day that he doesn't put tzitzit on it, he violates his anasei. Listen to what Rashi says, because afilu menechet b'kufsa, even if it's sitting in your drawer, you're in violation not putting tzitzit on it. Therefore, the mitzvah is always hanging over him. Rashi here, clearly, and there are a number of places in Shas where Rashi seems to say this, is that it's chovat amana v'not chovat agavra. Tzitzit is an obligation on the tzitzit themselves and not on the individual. We paskin, and the way that we hold, is that tzitzit are chovat agavra. That only when you wear the talit that has four corners are you obligated in tzitzit. If you have a four-cornered beggar that sits in your drawer, you don't have to do anything with it. There is a day on the Gemara in Menachot that says that even when it's in your drawer, you have to put on tzitzit. It's chovat mana. It's a chovat on the beged, your ownership of the beged, not on your wearing of the beged. Rashi clearly subscribes to that here. It might be that Rashi is doing it because of the nature of the Gemara. You can only have it not be a mitzvah asay that's governed by time or by wearing it if you say that it's chovat mana. So Rashi might have been forced by the Gemara to say this. Although again, throughout Shas, you see Rashi doing something similar, which is saying that tzitzit are chovat amana, that it's an obligation on the beged itself, and therefore you have to put tzitzit on, even if it's found in the drawer. Now that's what it means. Koshata v'shata mitzvatei, then maybe that's more of a reason to be duchet haShabbat. Now this isn't so simple.
Yeah.
Those are the cases, but now Abaye is rejecting the logic of Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara is going to respond to Abaye. The Gemara will respond to Abaye and reject Abaye. The Gemara continues, El Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Uyitem Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yoshua, Ho Ubiyado Hafkiran. You have another way of dealing with the issue. You can do the mitzvah. That's one way to deal with the issue. I can put up a mezuzah on the door because I'm obligated to have a mezuzah on my door. I can put on a tzitzit on the beged because I'm obligated to have the tzitzit on the beged. That's one way to deal with the issue. The other way to deal with the issue is to give up ownership of the item. You're only obligated in mezuzah if it's your bayit, or if you're living in the bayit. If you disown the bayit, if you give up ownership of the bayit, then you wouldn't be obligated in putting up the mezuzah. I mean, if you live there, you might be obligated anyway, because it's chovat adar. But it could get rid of your, temporarily, get rid of your obligation. The other hand, by tzitzit, the same thing. If you don't own the beged, if you don't own the talit, you're not chayav in the mitzvah of tzitzit on the talit. Since you don't own it, you won't have to put on tzitzit. So there's a way to get out of the problem, which is if you think that the mitzvah is all this man, and you should be able to do it on Shabbat, I say to you, rather than be doche Shabbat, I have a better option for you. Just disown the item. You disown the item, you're also not obligated, and you won't be in violation. You can deal with it after Shabbat. But that means that the issue is not so pressing on Shabbat. I have a way of dealing with it without making it pressing on Shabbat. So Sefot over here says something very interesting. Says, Taima, I don't understand why the Gemara even has to go down this path. Why is the Gemara coming up with a reason why by tzitzit and by tzitzit and mezuzah that it's not doche to Shabbat? He says, for every other mitzvah, Gemara is going to go through now, and come up with a reason why it's doche to Shabbat. They have a limud for every mitzvah. We don't have a limud for tzitzit and mezuzah. Since we don't have a limud, that's by definition wouldn't be doche to Shabbat. I don't need any other reason. I have a reason, which is I don't have a limud for it. And that should be enough. We can't learn out one from the other, and we need a specific pasuk for every mitzvah. Possible to learn out tzitzit and mezuzah from sukkah. Then the Tosfot goes on to explain this, but he makes one interesting comment about the difference or the nature of these mitzvot. It says, says that the nature of these mitzvot is different than other mitzvot. There's certain mitzvot where you have an obligation to do the mitzvah. If you don't do the mitzvah today, then you have an obligation to do that mitzvah tomorrow. For instance, milah. Mitzvah of milah is to go ahead and cut off the orla to do the mitzvah of milah. If you don't perform the mitzvah on the eighth day, then you perform the mitzvah on the ninth day. On the ninth day, you're doing the mitzvah that you would have otherwise done on the eighth day. You didn't do it on the eighth day, so now you do it on the ninth day, tenth day, whatever it is. You're doing the mitzvah of milah that you didn't do before. But it's the same mitzvah milah. These mitzvot are different. These mitzvot, if you don't put on tzitzit on the beged on day one, and then on day two you put on the tzitzit. Mezuzah. You don't put a mezuzah in the house on day one. On day two you put up on the mezuzah. Is that the same mitzvah? That's what says, no, it's not the same mitzvah. The mitzvah that you gave up yesterday, you'll never be able to make up again. Because there was an obligation yesterday to put a mezuzah on the door. That obligation stands independent of the obligation today to have a mezuzah on the door. Every day is a new mitzvah with regards to this. Mezuzah, tzitzit, and he says it by sukkah as well, which is interesting, that every moment these mitzvot are obligations, but a new obligation. So if you forfeit the ability to do the mitzvah today, it's not like tomorrow when you do it, okay, now I'm done, I'm okay. You forfeited the mitzvah forever and you cannot make up that mitzvah. There's no tashlumim, it's not the same mitzvah anymore. So Tosfot says these mitzvot are very unique in that way. That when we say that they have a mitzvah called shaita v'shaita, that means that they're mitzvot that are continuous, but it's a new mitzvah every moment. So when every time you have a mezuzah on your door, that's a new mitzvah that you do. Every day you're doing a mitzvah, every moment you're doing a mitzvah. And if you don't put the mezuzah on, when you put it on, you haven't solved the problem for what you missed. Doesn't mean you haven't made it up. You've taken care of prospectively what happened. Retroactively, you haven't dealt with it. As opposed to a milah. Miss milah on the eighth day, you do it on the ninth day, you've taken care of what you missed on the eighth day. Now you have a milah. Unless there are people who believe that there's a miss with liot mahul. So then they would come into the same category. But Tosafot does not designate that here. And that would explain the havamin of the Gemara as to why the Gemara thinks that they should be docha Shabbat because ein lahem zman. Ein lahem zman means that each moment is a new mitzvah, a completely different mitzvah. And just because you do the mitzvah after Shabbat does not mean that you've made up for or accomplished the mitzvah that was on Shabbat. And because of that, we have a havamin that they should be docha at a Shabbat even though that is not their zman ha-kavua. This is important because the Tosafot raises this issue in Baba Kama and other places by Pruta de Rav Yosef. When we have a din of Osek mitzvah, Potur min a mitzvah. Someone's involved in a mitzvah, Potur from a mitzvah. So there the Gemara is discussing, and Ani comes to the door, a poor person comes to the door, and the person's engaged in the Aveda. He's fixing the Aveda. He's taking care of a lost item that he found. So he's doing a mitzvah. So Gemara this says, according to that Pruta of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, you're patur from giving money to the Ani because you're engaged in the mitzvah of Aveda. So it's what asks on the spot. Okay, I have a mezuzah on my door. I'm doing a mitzvah every moment. If I'm doing a mitzvah every moment, then I should never have to give tzedakah. When the Ani shows up at the door, I'm always engaged in a mitzvah. So Tosfot over there differentiates in what means osik b'mitzvah. It means asuk b'mitzvah. You have to be engaged in the mitzvah. So there's certain mitzvot that you're able to do without being engaged in them. Mezuzah, tzitzit, happen to be those mitzvot where you can do them without being engaged in them. And I think the two might be corollary. I mean, that the idea that mezuzah and tzitzit are continuous mitzvot, and mitzvot midiot, as we call them, the nature is because you don't have to be a suk in them. They can be continuous, like sukkah. You can be present in the sukkah, and that's enough to have the mitzvah of sukkah be completed. So because of that, they can be mitzvot midiot. They can be continuous, constant mitzvot, and every moment's a new mitzvah. Because it doesn't require you to be standing by your door to hold up the mezuzah every moment. Mezuzah can be there, you can accomplish the mitzvah without being present. And therefore, every moment's a new mitzvah. So I think the two come hand in hand, and this idea that you don't have to be continuously engaged, as well as the fact that you can have the continuous mitzvah. Now the Gemara is going to go through each of these items and ask, where do we know them from? Amamar. Lav v'chol machshirav dochim et ha-shabbat. Lav, and it's all its preparatory stages, are dochet ha-shabbat, divi Rabbi Eliezer. Minole Rabbi Eliezer ha. Where does he know this from? Imi omer u'shtei lechem. So what are you going to say? We already know from the omer that it's dochet ha-shabbat. That's given, because that's written in the pasuk. U'shtei lechem. We just learned in the gzeir shava. So I know that shtei lechem and the omer already are dochet ha-shabbat. So maybe from those two, I should learn to lulav.
How would I learn?
As a Meimatzino. Meimatzino, I find by these two mitzvot, they're Dochet HaShabbat, and they're Machshirma Dochet HaShabbat. So too, by Lulav, I should have the mitzvahs Dochet HaShabbat, so too, I should be able to have Machshirma Dochet HaShabbat. Between the two of them, I'll learn this din out. Mar says you can't do that, because they have a common denominator that wouldn't allow you to learn to Lulav, which is Gein Sorech Gubah. Because they both involve Kodshim. They're for Hashem. So maybe when we do things for Hashem, Korbanot, there you can be Dochet HaShabbat. But over here we talk about Lulav, which is for the person themselves to do the mitzvah. There you may not be Dochet HaShabbat. Amar Kra. Kra says, Bayom. Bayom afilu b'Shabbat. That on the day, even on Shabbat, you can do Lulav. Now, Lamai Hilchotah. What halacha do you need to know that you can do it on Shabbat? Ilei meletiltol. What, you can carry a lulav on Shabbat, that it's not muksa? It's trichra lemishrei tiltol? Since when do you need a pasuk to tell you that it's not muksa on Shabbat? Muksa is an iser de rabbanan. Iser de rabbanan does not require a pasuk to undo a mitzvah de rabbanan. A pasuk in the Torah is there to undo a doraita problem. So in terms of carrying lulav or taking lulav on Shabbat, there is no issue mi doraita. Take a lulav on Shabbat. The reason we don't take it on Shabbat is all Yisurei D'Rabbanan or Chashash D'Rabbanan. So if that's the case, why do I need Bayom to teach me that it's Duchet Shabbat? Elo L'Machshirav. It must be to teach you that what's Duchet Shabbat? Machshirim, the preparation of the lulav. Otzami Rishut Rishut is not a part of the mitzvah. Now, maybe for Rabbi Eliezer, yes. You're asking me in terms of Machshirim, yes. You could carry Mishut Rishut according to Rabbi Eliezer in order to bring Lulav. No, in terms of the Chachamim, that's not an obligation of the mitzvah. You can accomplish the mitzvah without bringing Mishut Rishut, and therefore there doesn't have to be a violation of the Oraita. Rabbanon? So what are they going to do with this word, Bayom? Ha'um Yibayle Bayom V'lo B'layla, to teach you that the mitzvah of Lulav only applies during the day, not at night. Rabbi Eliezer Bayom V'lo B'layla Minale. How does he know that it doesn't apply during the night? Shivat Yamim says that you will be Mesameach Lifnei Hashem 7 days, Yamim Velo Leilot, during the day and not the night. Rabbanan Itzrich, Rabbanan need that Yamim, Sakadat Chamina Nilev Shivat Yamim Misukah. We will learn out the 7 days of Simcha from the 7 days of Sukkah. Malalan Yamim Vafilu Leilot, Tafkan Yamim Vafilu Leilot. So to over here, Yamim and Leilot, Kamash Malon, that's not the case, because it says Yamim and not Leilot. So now, what you have here is a situation in the puzzle which says, Lakaktam Lechem, Vayom HaRishon, Priyat Zadar, Kabot Marim, so on and so forth, and the puzzle continues, Vasamach Nifnei Hashem Lechem, Shivat Yamim. So the Lakaktam Lechem, Vayom HaRishon, the Gemara concludes here is extraneous, because it could have just said, Lakaktam Bi Rishon, could have taken on the first, Vayom HaRishon, what I need this extra Bayom for. The Rabbi Lezzi says, the extra Bayom teaches me that it violates the Shabbat. What violates the Shabbat? Makshirim, preparation of the Lulav, violates the Shabbat. Chachamim, what do they do with Bayom? They say that you only have to take lulav during the day. There's only a mitzvah lulav during the day, no mitzvah lulav at night. Now Rabbi Lezer is faced with the same problem. He has to have a mitzvah v'lev only applies during the day, not at night. How does he learn that? He learns it out from the latter half of the pasuk. Samachtim l'fnei shalokechem shivat yamim. That latter half of the pasuk is the limud for why we take the lulav in the mikdash for 7 days. So it's continuation of the pasuk. Samachtim l'fnei shalokechem shivat yamim. So right there he says, yamim v'lo leilot. So I can learn that out of the latter half of the pasuk. Chachamim say, I know I need that latter half of the pasuk because I would have thought that it says shivat yamim by sukkah. It says shivat yamim by the simcha. So maybe the two are correlated. Just like by sukkah, it's a continuous mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's both day and night. So it's over here. So I need yamim to come to exclude leilot. To tell me yamim, not leilot, not yamim and leilot. Right. The more logical argument is that it's yamim below leilot. When we say shivat yamim, it means during the day. That's the way Chazal generally learned these things. The unusual one is by sukkah, that we darshan yamim, not to be inclusive, to be leilot. So what the Gemara says is just don't extrapolate that type of limud by sukkah to say yamim and leilot to over here. Over here, yamim functions like it does everywhere else, which is yamim and not leilot, bayom and not ba'layla. So now the Gemara asks, okay, once I know that lulav is makshireha or docheret Shabbat, let's reverse the order and say, why don't I just say lichtov rachmana lulav? Let the Torah just write lulav. V'neto hanoch v'nofe minei. And we'll learn out Omer and Shtei Alechem from the Lulav. If we can't learn out from Lulav from those two, maybe the reverse. We'll have Lulav written. Once we know Lulav is Duchet Shabbat, so too Omer, so too Shtei Alechem. All right, Binyanav. The Gemara will later get to Omer Matzinu, but yeah, Binyanav. That once I know the principle that's Duchet Shabbat, then it should apply to all mitzvot. Where it says, no, Mishum Deikol HaMifrach. There's a logical argument against that, which is, Malu Lulav, Shekein Taon Arba Minim. Lulav has something special about it, which is it's not a singular mitzvah. It involves 4 different minim that are brought together. There's something chamur special about the lulav. And since there's something special about the lulav, I can't extrapolate from that to other mitzvot.
It's really one mitzvah.
Yeah.
So the person that refers to the lulav, only from the lulav.
So that's not necessarily clear because the Gemara Mishnah and Menachot says that the minim me'akvim zedzeh and that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you don't have all the minim, as long as you have all 4 of the minim according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rama, they have to actually be present in front of you. If you take them one by one, you're still yotze the mitzvah of dalet haminim. So you have here 4 independent mitzvot that are somehow integrally connected, and you try to do them in a singular action. The best way to do them is to take them all together. But if you don't do that and you take them one by one, there is a possibility of accomplishing the mitzvah. You take the minim that you do have and you make a bracha on them based on the minim that you do have. You take the minim even though you don't have all 4 minim. Depends which minim that you have, which bracha you make. But you're right. When we are ogeid them together, we're taking 4 mitzvot, combining them and doing it in one shot. It would be that you have 4 mitzvot now that are being combined into a singular mitzvah.
So you do see that the arbat minim that are ma'akev zedzeh have a unique status when they are brought together. They are a combination of multiple mitzvot that come together and rely on each other to accomplish, to create the complete mitzvah.
Sukkah v'chol makshireh dochein et ha-shabbat divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, by sukkah, makshireh dochein et ha-shabbat. Minole l'Rabbi Eliezer ha. How does he know this? What's the limud for this? If you want to learn it out of Omer and Shtei Lechem, Shekein Tzorach Gavoah, can't learn that out. They have a common denominator that they belong to Ekdesh. They belong to Gavoah. If you want to learn it out from Lav, Shekein Taon Arba'a Minim. They have a Chumrah in Lav, which is the 4 Minim. So we can't extrapolate from that to Sukkah. Ela Gomar Shivat Yamim Milulav. We're going to learn out Shivat Yamim from Lulav. Malalan Machshirav Dochim Et HaShabbat. Avkan Machshirav Dochim Et HaShabbat. Just like over there by the Shivat Yamim of Lulav, we learn from there that it's Dochad Machshirim Et Dochad HaShabbat. So to over here, by Sukkah, the Machshirim Et Dochad HaShabbat. Lichtov Rachmana B'Sukkah. Let the Torah write it just by Sukkah, and we'll learn from Sukkah to the other mitzvot through a Binyan Av. Here, the Machshirei Mitzvah Dochad HaShabbat, so too by all other mitzvot. B'nei Hanach, and we'll know Omer, Shtei Alechem, Lulav. We'll just write it by Sukkah. B'nigmor minei mishum deikol mifrach. There's a logical argument against that. Mar l'sukkah, shekein hoegeh b'leilot k'biyamim. Sukkah is unusual because it's a day-night mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that it applies both the day and night, as opposed to the other mitzvah that either only apply during the day or only apply at night. We'll see a different mitzvot, but none of them apply both during the day and the night. Sukkah is a chumrah. Since it has a chumrah, you can't extrapolate, you can't extend from it to other mitzvot. What's interesting here is, how do you learn out from lulav to sukkah? The Gemara here says, shivat yamim, shivat yamim. Rashi says, what gzeir shavah? You can't have a gzeir shavah, because the shivat yamim that is written by lulav is not mufne. Rashi says, "Gzeira shava atile." Even though the words are not extraneous on both sides. By lulav chad shivat yamim hu dichtiv. It only writes shivat yamim once. We already learned from Rabbi Elazar that comes to teach us yamim velo leilot. Came into Gali Rachmana ba'omer ushtei lechem velulav. Giloi milta ve'almahu. Rashi says that it's not a real gzeir shava. It's almost like a giloi milta. He says, I have a binyan av. I have three mitzvot by which I say that the machshiri mitzvot are dochei et Shabbat. I now have sukkah, then I'm faced with what should I do? So Rashi says, the Gemara says shivat yamim, shivat yamim. It's not a real gzeir shava. It's just a connecting word. The connecting word tells me that since I have this true by the other three mitzvot, it should also apply by sukkah. That's the way Rashi learns it. Velo parchin and Allah gimgum. And the Gemara doesn't ask on it, and then the Rashi ends with gimgum. Gimgum is interesting. It seems to me that it's not so straightforward. It's not so easy to understand what the Gemara is saying according to Rashi. What does that mean? There's a gili milta. The whole problem here is that we need a separate limud for each one because we can't learn it from the others. The way Rashi in the end comes out is that you really are learning it from the others, because there's no real gzeira shava here. So Tosafot, on the other hand, takes a different approach and says it's not the case. When we say shivat yamim here, it's a full-fledged limud. And Tosafot says, mufne hava mishnei tzadim. It's extraneous on both sides, and there is a full-fledged limud over here. So gabi lulav lo itzrich. You don't need it by lulav. Da'afagav darshini yamim v'leilot. What do you mean you don't need it? Rashi just explained to us. Rabbi Elazar learns out of yamim that daytime for lulav, not nighttime. How could it be extraneous? We need it for that. Miu lulav tzarich lemichtav shivat. Klal. You don't have to write seven. You could have just said it by yamim. On the days, you should be sameach lefnei Hashem. We already know that sukkah is 7 days. So shivat yamim, it's the phrase as a whole that's extraneous. Shivat yamim is extraneous because you don't need the word shivat. You could have just had the word yamim and that would have been sufficient. So shivat yamim is extraneous and therefore we have a gzeir shava. Now Tosafot by doing this runs into a bigger problem. Which is, we just said before, the Gemara had a Havamina. What was the Havamina? Gemara's Havamina, or the Rabbanan's Havamina? That maybe I should learn from Sukkah, that Yamim and Leilot. So too, I should say by Lulav, Yamim ve Leilot. The Gemara says, Kamashimah, no. But what we just did now, is open up Pandera's box. So we just said there's a Gezer Shavah between Shivat Yamim of Lulav, to Shivat Yamim by Sukkah. And the Shivat Yamim by Sukkah means days and nights. So now I have a Gzeir Shava that connects the two, and yet I'm still saying that the Yamim by Sukkah means day and night, and the Yamim by Lulav means just the day. So it's very unusual. But Yesh Lomar, this is what Tosafot says, Delay Lan the Mail of Gzeir Shava Milta, Lashon Gzeir Shava Gufa Mucha, De'enu Kain, Yamim Mashmo Velo Leilot. He says that to learn that Limud goes against the wording of the Gzeir Shava. He says, despite the fact that you have a Gzeir Shava here, that would seem to extend the dinim of Sukkah to Lulav and Lulav to Sukkah, because we're taking with Machshir or Doche Lulav, so to their Doche Sukkah, and I should extend what's by Sukkah. I should say by Sukkah, Yamim Velelot, so too by Lulav. So it says, I can't do that because the word Yamim undermines the whole Gzeir Shava. The word Yamim means days and not nights. I'm not going to have a Gzeir Shava that teaches me Yamim and Lelot when Yamim means days and not nights. By Sukkah, I have a separate limud, not from the word Yamim, from somewhere else. I have a limud that tells me because Sukkah is 7 days, means the complete 7 days, complete every day and night, because of the nature of the way it's written. But that's a limud for somewhere else. The word yamim by itself, if I just had the word yamim by Sukkah, I would have known days and not nights. It says I can't take a word that literally means day and not night, and say to me that it means day and night. So that's why Tosafot rejects that extension of the Gzeir Shava. What's interesting here, in addition to that, is which we said before, was let's learn it out from Sukkah by itself. By Sukkah, if we know Makshir Mitzvah Docha Sukkah, then let us now go and extend it to the other mitzvot. The problem is that there is nothing written by Sukkah. Sukkah has no dichui written by it. How do we know by Sukkah that the Makshir Mitzvah Docha Shabbat? Through the Gzeir Shava. So how could you say, let him write Sukkah, and then we won't need anything else? If there's nothing written by Sukkah to learn it from. So if you look, the Bach changes the wording slightly in Rashi and says, Nichtov Rachmana Behedjer B'Sukkah. The next question is not, okay, now that we have it by Sukkah, it's if the Torah had it by Sukkah, then let the Torah write it explicitly by Sukkah, and then we would know it from Sukkah to the other mitzvot. Not that that actually exists, but let the Torah do it in such a manner so that it did exist, so that we can learn out the other mitzvot. The last thing that's interesting in Tosafot is, the Gemara says that we have a Havamina. Let's learn out Shivat Yamim, Shivat Yamim, that just like by Sukkah, it's day and night, so too, by Lulav, it should be day and night. That's what it says. How could you down a Gezer Shavah and Avamina? We know that Gezer Shavah you need a Mesorah for. You need a Masorah from your Rebbe. It's not something that you do by yourself. Gzeirah Shavah is not open to everybody to don whatever Gzeirah Shavah you see. Gzeirah Shavah has to come by Masorah. So it says maybe that we know that it's out there. The Gzeirah Shavah is out there. We know that there's some sort of Shivat Yamim connection. We just don't know what it's utilized for, what it's used for. We saw this again earlier on the Masechta back on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. I pointed out over there. The Rabbeinu Tam also asked a question. The Gemara there has some sort of Havina that you're going to have a Gzeirah Shavah or put together a Gzeirah Shavah. He goes, wait, what happened to Masorah? Don't you need Masorah for it? So Rabbeinu Tam over there answers that they knew there was a certain number of Gzeirah Shavah in the Torah, and that one exceeded the number of Gzeirah Shavah they had in the Torah. So they reject it, not because they don't have a Masorah for it, but because they had too many Gzeirah Shavot. They knew there was a maximum number of Gzeirah Shavot, and they were over that number already. So they had to say one of them didn't belong. So they rejected that one. You see again and again, Tosfot is trying to deal with the reality that even though En Adam Dan Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmo, that these Gzeirah Shavot seem to be popping up in the Gemara. Some of them say, okay, we reject the Gzeirah Shavah. Here we have a Havamina that we should make a Gzeirah Shavah. All of these seem to indicate that we're doing this without a Masorah. So each time Tosfot says that there's a broader Masorah. Whether the broader Masorah is here, that there is some sort of connection between Shivat Yamim and Shivat Yamim, we just don't know how to apply it. They knew the Gzeirah Shavah exists, they don't know how to apply it over there. We thought there was a Gzeirah Shavah, but now we realize we exceeded the number of Gzeirah Shavah that we were entitled to. Thus was trying to create a framework where we don't lose the basic principle that Gzeirah Shavah has to come through Masorah, but also be able to deal with the Gemara seems to be bouncing around in Gzeirah Shavah as if, let's try it here, let's try it there. He does that by balancing between the doing and saying that there is a Masorah or quasi-Masorah, and the Gemara is trying to deal within the context of Masorah, how to apply it to this particular Gzeirah Shavah or to Gzeirah Shavot in general. Okay, now the Gemara moves on to the next case. Matzah v'chol makshireh. Comes to Matzah, all the makshirim and Matzah dochet ha-Shabbat. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Minole Rabbi Eliezer ha. Where does Rabbi Eliezer know that from? Imi omer u'shtei lechem. If you're talking about the omer and the shtei lechem, shegein tzorach gevoa. Can't learn out from there. They have to do with kodshim. Imi lulav. You can't learn out of love. It has a chumra. Shegein ta'un arba'a minim. Has that unique feature. Noeg at night as the days. Over here it's really the opposite because matzah is noeg balayla, not bayom. So it's really be that it's noeg bayamim kabalelot. Because here the yamim is the important part that is duchet. Elagamar, chamishasar, chamishasar, michagal sukkot. We have a gzeirah shavah between the 15th of Nisan to the 15th of Tishrei. And that gzeirah shavah says, malahalan, makshire dochim et Shabbat, just like by sukkah, it's duchet Shabbat. Avkan machshirei dochim et Shabbat. So too by matzah, the 15th will tell us that machshirei mit matzah dochim et Shabbat. Velichtov rachmana b'matzah v'netei anach. Let the Torah just write it by matzah, and let's learn everything else out from matzah. Ligmar minei mishum teikon lamifrach. Malin matzah shekenu egeb nashim kibanashim. Matzah is the only mitzvah here that applies to women, because even though matzah is a mitzvah that says shazman grama, nevertheless we have a limud. The Gemara brings that lo tochal chametz, that there is a mitzvah to desist from eating chametz, and in the same pasuk it says shivat yamim tochal matzot, that you eat matzah for 7 days. The Gemara draws a connection from that juxtaposition between chametz and matzah. Just like every lota, say a woman is chayevet in, so she's definitely chayevet in the mitzvah of not eating chametz. So therefore, the Gemara extends it to the mitzvah of eating matzah and says a woman is equally chayevet in eating matzah because of its connection to the mitzvah of desisting or not eating chametz. And so because of that, women are chayevot in matzah on the first night of Pesach. And so that makes this mitzvah unique compared to all the other mitzvahs. Sukkah and Mulav are mitzvah to say shazmran grama. For Benot, Omer and Shtei Alechem are done by the Kohanim, which is Kohanim is Zicharim, if you want to say it that way. But really, it's only on the obligation on the males of Bnei Israel to ensure that Benot are brought. Shofar b'chol. We saw before that a shofar in all its preparation tochin et Shabbat divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Minhal le'ed Rabbi Eliezer ha? How does Rabbi Eliezer know this? Imi omer shtei lechem shekein tzorach kavah. If you want to learn out of the omer shtei lechem, can't do that. That's kodashim. Imi lulav. You want to learn out of lulav shekein ta'on arba'a minim. Requires 4 minim. Imi sukkah. Learn out of sukkah shekein noeged be'lilot ka be'yamim. Sukkah has an unusual feature that it's noeg all day and all night. Imi matzah, shekein noeged banashim kevanashim. Matzah is applicable to men and women. Shofar is a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. Women are not chayavot in shofar. Elam akra, yom trua yelachem. Bayom vafilu bishabbat. Yom trua alechem teaches you that bayom even on Shabbat. Ulamai. What do you need that for? Ilem letkiya. You want to teach me that tkiyot of shofar dochet Shabbat? Hanatan de beish mu'el. We had this earlier in the Masechet. Kol Melechet Avodah Lo Ta'asu. You may not do any Melechet Avodah on Yom Tov. Yatzdat Kiyat Shofar. V'yidiyat HaPat Shei Chochma V'eino Melecha. We had it earlier in the Masechet in terms of the context of Shabbat. That they're not Asur on Shabbat because they are a Chochma. They are a skill, not a Melecha. Rashi defines here Melechet Avodah Shel Korach. Melechet Avodah is doing something, an undertaking that involves Tircha. Involves great effort, great exertion. In order to do it. And that's not true about Tkiyat Shofar and Ridiyat HaPat. It's not about exertion. It's not about effort. It's simply about skill. It's a skill set that you need. If you have that skill set, you can do it simply. You can do it easily. And therefore, it's not under the restriction of Melechet Avodah. Interesting how Rashi defines Melechet Avodah over here. Because in Parshat Emor, he defines Melechet Avodah differently. And the Ramban takes him to task for that. And the Ramban gives a different definition from Melechet Avodah. The Ramban says Melechet Avodah is something that's done for the long haul. It's not an avodah that's done directly for the day. It's an avodah that you do in quantities and in scale, that it's for multiple days. It's for done for a large number of items. So for instance, you harvest a field, you don't harvest the field just for two stalks. If you harvest the field, you take down the whole field because that's the scale of harvesting. And therefore, that's Melechet Avodah, which is a sur on Yom Tov. What's mutar on Yom Tov, which is equivalent to Ochel Nefesh, is a voda that you do for that day. Small quantity types of voda. You will need dough in small quantities. You don't have to deal dough for the next year. You harvest for the entire upcoming year. So those are the difference. That's the way the Ramban does it. Rashi over here, somewhat in between what the Ramban says al Torah and what Rashi says al Torah, he calls it Shel Torah. Nevertheless, blowing the shofar is not a problem in Melacha. Ela l'machshirin, it must be that if you want to be Doche Shabbat, the only reason to be the Doche Shabbat is because of the machshirim of shofar. Rabbanan, what do they do with that? Ha'u yom? Ha'mu b'ayle b'yom v'lo b'layla, to teach you the mitzvah of shofar is on the day and not at night. V'b'lezer b'yom v'lo b'layla minole. Where's he go? That the mitzvah of shofar is only during the day and not at night. Nafkalei mi b'yom ha'kipurim taviru shofar b'chol ha'tzechem. When it comes to the Yovel in Pashat Behar, it says over there that on Yom Kippur you'll blow the shofar. V'gamrei me'adodi, and we learn them out from each other. Even the Chachamim agreed to this, which is that kol atkiot shechodesh ha-shvi'i is a gzeirah shavah of all the tkiot that are blown on the seventh month. That includes the shofarot that are blown, a tkiot blown on Rosh Hashanah, and tkiot blown on Yom HaKippurim of the Yovel. Together, that's how we learn out that there are actually three tkiot that have to be blown on Rosh Hashanah, including a tkiah before and a tkiah afterwards. The nine kolot midoraita that we know, that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, comes from a combination of the words Tru'at Kiyah that are found by Rosh Hashanah and found by Yom HaKippurim. So there's a connection between them. Rabbi Eliezer says, I can learn out from Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur it says Bayom. But you only blow the shofar during the Yom. So I extrapolate that to Rosh Hashanah to teach me only Bayom also. V'lichtov Rachmana b'shofar v'leite anach v'ligmru mimei. So let us write that Makshirei Mitzvah Dochet Shabbat by Shofar. We'll learn everything else out from Shofar. That'll be the binyan of. The Gemara says Mitzgiat to Rosh Hashanah Leka LeMigmar. Can't learn out of Mitzgiat to Rosh Hashanah because Shikain Machneset Zichronot Shel Yisrael Avim B'Shoshem V'Shamayim. The Tkiyah and Shofar Rosh Hashanah is not simply Tkiyah Shofar. It involves much more than that. It's the key to allowing the Tfilot of Bnei Yisrael to enter the heaven. I mean that it's Malah the Tfilot of Bnei Yisrael before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It acts as a vehicle for the Tfilot of Bnei Yisrael and Rosh Hashanah. So it's not simply a blowing of the shofar. It's not that simple mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that involves much more than a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that involves or incorporates the entire day of Rosh Hashanah and everything that's done on Rosh Hashanah. Mitzkiyot shofar di yom ha-kumim, lekel ha-migmerei. And again, from the blowing of the shofar in Yom Kippur, you also can't learn. We're not talking about the blowing of the shofar at Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Talking about blowing the shofar in the Yovel of Yom Kippur. When you blow the shofar in the Yovel of Yom Kippur, that's not simply blowing the shofar. When the shofar is blown, that blowing of the shofar frees the slaves in the 50th year. It allows the ownership of the land to return to its original owner. That shofar is not simply a blowing of a shofar, it's a shofar that has impact. It's a shofar that has chashivut. So again, you can't extrapolate from a mitzvah that has unique properties. The properties of the shofar Rosh Hashanah is not a simple mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that involves much more. By Yom Kippur also, the shofar is not simply blowing the shofar, it's a shofar that it has impact beyond just the blowing of the shofar. So I can't extrapolate from shofar to other mitzvot. So now the Gemara says, Mila, v'chol makshirei dochim et ha-shabbat, divrei Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer says that makshirei mitzvah of Mila are dochet ha-shabbat. Minole Rabbi Eliezer ha. Where does Rabbi Eliezer know that makshirei Mila are dochet ha-shabbat? Ha, imi kulu gamar. If you want to try to go through each one of them and learn it from there, we can't learn it out, kidam rinon. Like we said by each one. There's a chumra. Finally, the Gemara did it this way, which is, we know. Shtei lechem neomer, tzorech gvoa. Lav, arba minim. Sukkah, yamim and leilot. Matzah is equal by nashim and anashim. Tkiat shofar, we have the chumrot that we just mentioned by Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. We can't learn out from those to mila. Va'od, malahanach, shkem im amar zvana batla. By all of the mitzvah that we mentioned so far, if you didn't do the mitzvah, you're out. You missed the day, you missed the time, it's over, the mitzvah is done. All of those mitzvah that we listened until now were mitzvah d'asei shehazman grama. Even matzah is a mitzvah d'asei shehazman grama. It happens to be an exception to the rule because of its connection to chametz. So women are chayavot. But every mitzvah we listed so far is a mitzvah d'asei shehazman grama. If that's the case, you can't learn from them to milah. Milah is not a mitzvah to say shazman garma because mavar zmana, mitzvah, that's not true by milah. Mavar zmana, if you don't do the mitzvah milah on the 8th day, you gotta do it on the 9th day. You don't do it on the 9th day, you gotta do it on the 10th day. Now, I'm making a statement that it's a mitzvah to say shazman garma, that's not so clear. Machlok in the Kiddushin, whether it was considered to be a mitzvah to say shazman garma because it only starts on the 8th day. Is that classified as a mitzvah to say shazman garma or not? I'm using it loosely, the term. It doesn't have the time-bound properties of the others, which is the other mitzvot end when the time expires. But over here, the time doesn't expire. Because if you don't do the mitzvah today, you have to do it tomorrow. Ella, Hainu Taima de Rabbi Eliezer. This is the reason of Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Kra. Uve Yom Hashmini Imo Besar Arlato. Then on the 8th day, you have to give the milah. Vafilu b'shabbat. V'lichto brachmana b'milah. So let the Torah write it by milah. V'leita chanoch. And learn all the others out from the Ligmar Mine. Shum de'in gilem ifrach. Milah also has a chumrah. Mal milah shekein nichrutu aleh shloshesre britot. When it's given to Avram Avinu, the word brit is mentioned 13 times. Which is that there's a covenant in the doing of the milah that involves 13 britot, 13 covenants between B'nai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So milah stands in this unique place. So again, you can't extrapolate from milah to other areas. Now, what's interesting here is that Rabbi Lesser learns it out. V'yom ha-shmini ma'o musar lato. On the 8th day you do it. V'yom afilu b'shabbat. Or v'yom ha-shmini afilu b'shabbat. How does he know that milah itself is dochet ha-shabbat? That's the limud for milah being dochet ha-shabbat. Rabbi Lesser now is using that for makshiri milah. Where does he know milah is dochet ha-shabbat? The answer is milah gufa. Rashi says the dochet ha-shabbat amir l'kaman alacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Gemara later on is going to tell us that for Rabbi Eliezer, the fact that Mila is Dochet Shabbat is Allah Moshe Misinai. He doesn't learn it out of the Psukim. Once he has his Allah Moshe Misinai, then Voyom Hashmina Yimo Basar Lato is extraneous. We don't need it to be Dochet Shabbat. We already know that. And then he uses that Makshir Milar Dochet Shabbat. The Rabbanan learn from a Yom HaShmini that Mila itself is Dochet HaShabbat. They don't have this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and therefore they learn out of a Yom HaShmini Yom HaBasar HaTov that Mila itself is Dochet HaShabbat. But because Rabbi Lezer has that limud from the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, he now has a Yom HaShmini available to teach him that Makshirei Mila are Dochet HaShabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.